didn't put the flowers in them actually before Shabbos that you're allowed to put them into that water. So you have to have the flowers in the water before Shabbos. If they came out, you're allowed to return them to that water on Shabbos. They're not muktzah flowers, but you can't add water and you can't change the water. And you can't put them into water that they weren't in before Shabbos. As long as putting them in the water will not open the flowers. But if the kind of flowers that putting them in the water will open the flowers, that you can't do on Shabbos. But if the flowers are open already, what? The flowers are open already, or they're not kind of flowers that open because you put them into water, that's okay.
These are only flowers for beauty.
Right. Flowers are cut flowers for beauty in a vase. A flower pot that has a hole in the bottom, and even some flower pots that don't have a hole in the bottom. I'm not going through now all the different materials, but certain material flower pots, especially where they're made out of earthenware, which are like normal flower pots, or wood, it's possible even if it doesn't have a hole, right, it's considered like it's connected to the ground, and moving those flower pots, taking them off the ground, putting them on the ground is a problem. Flower pots that are made of metal, plastic, and have no hole, and the plant doesn't overhang the pot, right? Moving them around is rabbinically prohibited, and therefore you shouldn't move flower pots around in the house, even if the floor is tiled, could be still considered like it's connected to the ground because it still gets some kind of nurturing from the ground, and therefore flower pots that you have in your home, even inside the house, preferably should not be moved around. If you have specific shayla, you should ask about that specific flower pot. It may be, make a difference that the conditions may make a difference that you could move that flower pot specifically. But under normal circumstances, flower pots with a hole, without a hole, shouldn't be moved around the shops. Yeah. Right. It's probably not a problem. What? No, you can move, if it's on a table, you probably can move the flower pot too, but you can't put it on the ground.
Yeah, can you move the table around?
Yes. Yes, yeah. No. Well, it depends. It could be the whole flower pot is not muktzah if it's not usher to move. You can move from one end of the table to the other, and it's for decoration. It could be something.
So you're saying, for the flower pot is completely made of metal or plastic?
Then usually there's not a problem, right? Unless it overhangs the pot. If the leaves overhang the pot, then it's still a problem. Right, but that palm tree, the leaves for sure overhang the pot. In other words, they go beyond the thing, so there it's not. No. Even if they're exposed to the ground, it's a problem. Even being exposed to the ground is a problem, even though they don't touch the ground. Yeah, since there's nothing separating between leaves and the ground, the leaves get some nurturing from the ground, even though they don't touch the ground. There's an idea of the nurturing comes up, into the air, right, from the ground, molecules of whatever, water, whatever, that they, to a certain degree above the ground, those things are in the air. Yeah. If what you call the flower pot?
Yeah,
it's not just
water.
Right. It could be the flower pot, this muktzah, but if it's mamish, a flower pot that's made, you know, like a vase or something, could be it's not muktzah. Okay. Another thing, if you have plants, you can't open a window or open a curtain to let the sun come on them, if that's your intention, to make the sun come on them so they thrive, right? You can't close the curtain either, take the sun away from them if they're getting too much sun. But if your intention is not to make the sun come in on the plants, just you have plants in the room, but you want the sunlight in the room. So even though it's a psik resha, if you open the curtains, you're going to get sunlight in the room, and it's for sure going to go on these plants, but that's not your intention, and it's only a grumma, you're not lighting the sun. Right, you're just letting the sunlight in that was there. You're taking away a separation that separated from the sunlight. The sunlight was there to begin with. You're only doing something indirect. So since it's only indirect and it's not your intention, even though it's going to have to happen, right, it's okay to do. So you're allowed to open a curtain in the house and let the sun into the room as long as your intention is not to let the sun come on the plants. If your intention is to let the sun come on the plants, then you can't open that curtain. But if that's not your intention, it just happens to happen, right, then that's okay. Okay, let's stop now. Next week we'll have Coates there. He's not exactly, and this is the truth, is preparing this as a fetish to me. But looking it up, I see that it's true. I was looking through some sources here. I used to think that Kotzer is the opposite of Zoraya. Zoraya is planting things, and anything that inhibits the growth of plants is also Kotzer. And as Zoraya. And therefore, if you water plants, if you put sunlight on them, Bedavka, so you're over on Zoraya. Kotzer is the opposite. That's harvesting, cutting plants away from the place where they live, and Mamela would include anything that diminishes or hinders the growth of plants. For instance, you take sunlight away from a plant, right? Make it shady. You maybe you could take the moisture out of the ground, right, and make it dry. You're over on Kotzer. Or something like that, right? You took a heater, right, that was on before Shabbos, you're not over that, and you dried out the ground by a plant. Or you should be over on Kotzer, right? So that they say not like that. That Kotzer is only actually separating something from the ground, or separating its unique. But if you just diminish and hinder it, that's not also min haTorah. Probably is also min haRabbanan, but it's not also from the Torah. It's not a Torah prohibition. Kotzer has to be Klishas Dogger Migidulo, and therefore it doesn't only apply to things that are growing in the ground. But and wherever you sever the connection of where the thing is growing from, that's also kosher. Even though it's not getting unique from the ground. For instance, mushrooms. K'mayim epitrios. Mushrooms don't grow from the ground, they grow from the air. Right? They're spores. And they get their unique from the air, but they're connected to the ground. So if you separate a mushroom from the place where it's connected, you're over an Isser Deraisa of Kotzer, even though you haven't separated it from the place that it's getting its nutrition. So it's not like, what's it called, in that respect, the opposite of Zoraya. It has a little bit different halachas. So anything that you separate, therefore we said bean sprouts. If you have bean sprouts growing in a an environment, right, that has these, right, or hydroponics, right, and you take it out of that, that's called kosher, right? If you take them out of, not only water, sometimes they put it with wet cloth or whatever, and that's where they are, even though they're not mamish connected, but that's the place where they're growing. You take that off, it's awesome. Okay, however, you remove them from that before Shabbos, you're allowed to eat them, even though you're eating with the moisture on them or whatever, that's not called kosher. But if they're in the environment where they're still growing and sprouting, and you take them out of that environment, that's called kosher. Okay, the same thing goes, and this is similar to what we said with Zoraya. If you have a planter, a flower pot, either that has a hole in it, and it's on the ground, and you lift it off the ground, then you've severed it from the place where it gets its nutrition. Right? You're taking it off the ground, that's kosher. Or if you have a flower pot, it doesn't have a hole in it, but it's made of a material that doesn't need a hole, like klicheris, according to some, or wood, according to others. Or the plant overhangs the flower pot. It's not directly over the sides of the walls, right? But it's getting unique from the karka, and you picked it up. That also severs it from its connection to the ground. That's also kosher. So you have to be very careful about what flower pots you pick up on Shabbos and move around or whatever. What? Yeah, yeah. Any portion of the thing. You don't put the whole thing. Any portion is right. Any portion is the same thing. Okay, now there are certain things the rabbis prohibited that maybe you'll come. Yeah.
Why aren't the other things that the rabbis described before considered the healthy? Wouldn't kosher need to be for a positive purpose?
Yeah, that's a separate thing, right? But let's say you did it for a positive purpose. This plant is, what's it called, eating your child up. It's a Venus fly thing that has your kid's head in it, and you want to put shade on it to get the flare off, right? So it's not Macau. Okay. The, that's a, what? Okay, the rabbis prohibited various things because we're afraid that if you would do these things, you would pluck fruit or plants or whatever. First thing they prohibited is you're not allowed to use a tree. Make any use of a tree. Now let's first describe what a tree is. A tree is anything that has a hard stem. It doesn't have to be a real tree. It can be anything that has a hard stem, or that will, the stem will become hard eventually, even if right now it's pliable. Right? It's a sapling. And you can, it's pliable, but eventually it'll become hard, right? That's considered a tree, and it's higher than three tefachim. The portion that you are having a connection to is more than three tefachim, which is about 9 to 12 inches off the ground. Okay? On the other hand, if you have a tree and you want to sit on the bottom part of it, then you're allowed to sit on that bottom part of the tree, and you're allowed to put things on there or whatever. But anything above three tefachim, you're not allowed to. So now, the halacha is like this. First of all, you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. You should tell your children this, for sure. Not too many people here are interested in climbing trees on Shabbos. But the kids do it all the time. Shtam Tzasser to do that. Not only that, but the rabbis made this gzeira very strict, that if you climb a tree on Shabbos and you knew what you were doing, you're not allowed to come down to Motzei Shabbos. Except except if by remaining in the tree you'll get sick or be put to terrible suffering because of the weather or whatever, right? It's raining, it's cold or whatever, or you have to go to the bathroom. You're allowed to come down to go to the bathroom. But otherwise, what? No. What's your doubt? Obviously, your doubt. So if you went up a tree on the Nezer and then you decided to do tshuva, you have to stay up there the whole Shabbos. And that will make sure that you never do it again.
Even be a busha?
No. That's part of the gzeirah. But if it'll be a tsar, physical tsar. Physical charm. What are you saying? Busha maybe should be as much as tsar. A guy gets sick. It'll really be a busha. It's not a busha just because he's, but people are going to come and it's going to really, you know, kill his parnasa because he's, you know, people think he's a nut or whatever. He's, I don't know. It's something to think about. However, if you went up a shogeg, you didn't know you're not allowed to climb trees on Shabbos. And you went up into a tree and then somebody told you, hey, what are you doing? It's awesome. Then you're allowed to come down. In fact, you have to come down.
That gezeira is stronger than the need to daven.
The need to daven? Yeah, you daven in the tree.
Wow. Oh.
The, Pat? It depends what kind of tree. It says a tree that has a lot of branches or whatever that you're not afraid you're going to fall out of. You can say Kriya Shema, Tviya Taket, Shmona Esrei, you can't in any tree. Yeah?
A living tree or plant, is it not
muktzah? Yeah, 100%. It's because of this gzeira. We'll see it, yes and no. But in the muktzah anyway, yeah. But not only is it muktzah, but muktzah is usually if you move it. Here you can't even use it if you don't move it.
How could you find a tree?
It doesn't move. Right?
There are branches or something.
Fine, so you're climbing a tree, it's a palm tree. And you're just climbing straight up, you're not moving the tree at all, still awesome. Even though you're not moving it. Muktzah is only if you move it.
No, but I'm saying you shouldn't be allowed to stay.
I know, so that's exactly, that's an echanami. Really, the chora, you're continuing that iser, right? But in order to make sure you'll never do it again, the Rabbanan said that if you did it b'mezid, we're going to teach you a lesson. Right. And this way it'll strengthen and nobody will ever do that again. And anybody who sees you in that tree will never think of climbing trees. But no, going in a clubhouse, no. Same kind of thing. That we'll see. Okay, we'll see one second. A clubhouse built in a tree. A sukkah. The Gemara speaks about a sukkah built in a tree. We'll see. What? No. In fact, if he can jump, if he went up the show gate, because he didn't do it on purpose, he has to come down. He should come down in a way that he touches the tree as little as possible. Right, that's safe. That's safe. Right, no, that's safe. Okay, now, what does it mean using a tree? It doesn't mean only climbing. If a person leans against a tree, and he doesn't need the tree for support, and he doesn't move the tree, trees are gesunt tree, right, and he's not so gesunt, right, So he, when he leans against a tree, he doesn't need the tree for support. He's not sick or weak. He's healthy, and the tree is healthy. So the tree's not moving, then you're allowed to lean against the tree. But if you need the tree for support, and without the tree you wouldn't be able to support yourself, and you lean against the tree for support, or you move the tree by leaning against it, right? So it's a thin tree, and you're not so thin. So you move the tree when you... What? No, not considered, if you do.
So why is the tree that roots on the ground, not coming out?
That's called moving. That's called moving. You move parts. That's something different. That's something that we'll get to move, so we'll discuss it. That's not because you're only moving part of it. That's because you're allowed to move it. It's not moving. Okay. But that has nothing to do with this. This moving it even partially is called moving. Okay, so now, so you can't lean against the tree if you need it for support or if you move the tree. If you don't move the tree and you don't need it for support, you're allowed to lean against it. Next, you can't put things in a tree. You can't put your hat on a tree branch on Shabbos. Not only that, you can't even put things that you may need on Shabbos in the tree before Shabbos, because we're afraid you'll take them out of the tree. And once they're in the tree, you can't ever take them down until Motzei Shabbos, even if you did a b'shogeg. Now, it's climbing a tree, if you did a b'shogeg, you can come down. But if you put things in the tree, even if you didn't know you weren't allowed to, right? People do that all the time. They hang things on branches, right? They're out in the country or whatever, and they, or in Matakioho, which is like always being in the country, and you hang your jacket on a tree, put your hat on the tree, you can't take it off of there till Motzei Shabbos. Immediate Motzei Shabbos, you're allowed to take it off, but till Motzei Shabbos, you're not allowed to take, even if you didn't know you were not allowed to do it when you put it up. And you can't even put things there Erev Shabbos and leave them on the tree over Shabbos, because we're afraid you'll take them off. Right? And by doing all this, you're going to come to take things off the tree. Yeah.
What happens if you're walking under a tree branch and the snake
gets
caught in the branch?
Good question.
It happened to me. No, it happened.
It
was like
falling down. Lechora, I have to look it up, but Lechora, you're not allowed to take it out of the tree.
So what's the way you're supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do? Get somebody with a handkerchief and cover your hair.
What?
I am not 99% sure you're not allowed to take it out of the tree.
You just go home and, eventually.
Right. Next thing. That's only where you're using the tree directly. But if you're indirectly using the tree, right, then it depends how indirect it is. For instance, you can't use a hammock that's connected to a tree directly. The hammock is tied to a tree, you can't use that hammock at all, because you're using the tree, using something that's directly connected to a tree. However, if you put a nail into the tree, and you tie the hammock on the nail, not on the tree, so now the hammock is two times removed from the tree. It's tzidei tzadik. It's not using the tree or something directly connected to the tree. You're using something that's indirectly connected to the tree. That's mutter. If you have a ladder that's against the tree, that's awesome. You can't use that ladder because the ladder is directly, leaned against the tree. But if you have something knocked into the tree and the ladder is connected to that, right, then the ladder is two steps removed from the tree, you're allowed to use that ladder. Okay, let's say you have a clubhouse or a sukkah built in a tree. Okay, so if the sukkah is directly resting on the tree, then you can't use that sukkah on Shabbos or Yontif. They call them all you can use. You can't use a Shabbos or Yontif because the boards of the sukkah are resting on the tree itself. But if they're not resting on the tree directly, they have another support. And the tree is only incidental, and that could be in many ways. I know I don't want to go into the details of how many walls have to be dafka supported by the tree or whatever, but if, let's say, it's built on something that's built on the tree. So when you're in that clubhouse or in that sukkah, you're not making use of something that's directly supported by the tree, but indirectly supported by the tree, then you're allowed to use that clubhouse or whatever. Yeah.
Don't we have a cloud that is the Rahmanan,
the Rasmussen side, that is not a cloud that is? Yes and no. Some hold that's only if it's a Shevi Al-Tasa. No, it's not taking off something for Abed, but not a kumbiyase. It's not always the case. Okay, next. Again, that's only if you're making use of a tree above three tefachim. Or it's what's it called, and even above three tefachim is only if it's a tree. But high grass, you're allowed to walk through high grass, even though you touch it or whatever, as long as you don't pluck it out. So grain, right, like wheat fields or whatever, is pliable. It's not a tree. There was no issue, even if it's higher than three tefachim. You're allowed to move it and whatever. There's no issue on that. And you're allowed to make use of it. So if you want to hang your hat on it, pliable big grass or whatever, that's pliable, that's not issue. Awesome. Okay, next thing they ask you. You can't ride animals or ride in a wagon that's pulled by animals because we're afraid you'll pull out a branch and hit it. But they made the issue apply to all animals. And therefore, even little animals, dogs, cats, which can't, what's it called, you can't ride on, right? And they can't pull a cart. They're also usher to have anything to do with the animal. You can't put things on the animal, take things off the animal, just like a tree. Same halachas. You can't climb on an animal, besides the fact that an animal is mukta. So even not making use of it, just moving it, right, is a problem. So later on, we learn the laws of mukta. But we'll see for people who own pets, that's a big problem because you can't take a dog and basically hold it on Shabbos or a cat, right? What you can do with it and what you can't and how you can walk it and where you can walk it is all halachas we'll get to when we learn about muktzah. But for the time being, you should realize you can't make use of any animal, big, small, or whatever. Just like you can't ride an animal. Okay, another thing that Chachamim Aser is smelling fruit that's connected to a tree, an esrog. Pass by your esrog tree. You're not allowed to get close, bedafka, and smell the fruit. I mean, you don't have to close your nose if you're walking in an esrog, what's it called, and stop breathing. But we're talking about going over to the fruit and smelling it specifically is awesome. However, that's only fruit. Flowers that are growing, you're allowed to smell. The difference being that fruit, when you smell it, we're afraid that you want to eat it, and then even if you don't take it off the tree, but you take a bite out of it from the tree, you're over on kosher. Okay? But flowers, you don't have to take them away to have the good smell. They only have a smell. So you can have the same smell if they're connected to the tree as if they're separated. The fruit, we're afraid that you're not just going to smell, you're going to want to eat, and then you can't eat it if it's on the tree. Eating it means you're taking it off the tree. But flowers, all you want to do is smell it. You don't have to separate it from the ground to smell it. You can smell it while it's connected to the ground. So we're not afraid that by smelling it, you're going to separate it from the ground. So you're allowed to smell flowers that are growing as long as they're not edible. Edible things, you're not allowed to smell on the while they're mechuba. Fruit that fell off a tree on Shabbos, or even if it's a suffix, if it fell off the tree on Shabbos. Okay, you have an esrog tree, and you have an esrog under the tree, and you're not sure if that was there already Erev Shabbos, or it fell off on Shabbos. It's muktzah, and you're not allowed to move it, surely not allowed to eat it until Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, immediately you're allowed to eat it and move it. Okay, those are basically the halachas of kosher. Any questions about kosher? Yeah.
I don't understand if an older person or a weak person is walking by and they're going to faint, they can't hold on to the tree to support.
Okay, then that's sort of an extreme case, right? And again, Yedda's question also, I'm not 100% sure, right? If, like Rafael said, I'll cover Abrius or I'll sneeze, right? The Issa de Rabbanan would be waived, just like it would be a case of holy or whatever. Sickness, so in most of the time, if it's, we're talking about mamish, a person going to faint and he's going to fall on the ground and get hurt, then the Issa de Rabbanan is waived because it's b'makom holy, right? That's very possible, right? Now, we're not talking about a person who's going to faint. We're talking about a person who's weak, and he needs some support. So he wants comfort. He wants to feel a little more comfortable. But he needs the tree for that support. That's awesome. But a situation beyond that, where if he doesn't rest on the tree, he's going to faint, he's going to get sick, or whatever, right, then it could be that since it's only the Siddur Rabbanan, the Makom Choli, they weren't kosher. Same thing coming down from the tree. The Rabbanan said, you're not allowed to come down to the tree. But if you're going to get sick in the tree, then the Rabbanan is waived, right? Now, the question you asked, right, from Boucher, right, sometimes that is considered like sickness, right? Psychological pain, you're going to have pain in the tree, right? You have to come down because you have to go to the bathroom. It's also not a mamish sickness, but it's a tsar. So sometimes psychological tsar is also tsar. So if the Boucher is just going to be that you're in the tree and some people are going to laugh at you, you know, whatever, it's inconsequential, right? That's one thing. But if you're an important person and you went into the tree for something and then you have to stay the whole Shabbos and it could make really, right, really affect you in a terrible way, or your person has little self-esteem and this just may push you over the brink to become depressed, you know, for the rest of your life, right, then it could be you can come down for that reason. Again, we're talking about extreme situations, that each situation then is the Issur Drabanan is there, except usually under cases of sickness. Tsar, right, the rabbinic prohibition is sometimes waived. Give an example where that applies. You have, what's it called, you're not allowed to kill insects on Shabbos, okay? Even though it could be it's only rabbinic. It's certain things only rabbinic for killing them, okay? Or capturing them. But if you're afraid that you're going to be bitten by them and it's going to cause you a lot of sorrow, like bees or whatever, then it could be you're not allowed to kill them, but you're allowed to capture them, that in order that they shouldn't bite you. But if they're mosquitoes and the tsar is not all that great, right, it's minimal, then you can't capture mosquitoes. So it really depends on how great the tsar is. Sure, mosquitoes are uncomfortable, but they're not the same thing as a bee bite.
So the truth is when I say to them, you can't kill a tsar.
Yeah, 100%, that's for sure. Yeah. Kill bugs? Yeah. 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 Yeah, bugs you can kill on if they're bothering you. If they're not bothering you, right, it's not an Indian to walk around stepping on ants outside that don't bother you, right? That's what's it called, axorius, right? Right, but if I'm killing things like scorpions that may hurt somebody else, or I'm killing mosquitoes because they're bothering me, or they may bother somebody else, that's fine. But stam ants, they're in my house, then I'll get out the bug spray or I'll step on them. I don't like them in my house, right? If they're bothering me. But to walk outside where it's the ant's domain and just kill them indiscriminately because, right, you want to kill ants that aren't bothering anybody, that lechor is luxurious. What? Yeah. Right. No, a tree is... Muktzah, there's two different things over here. There's muktzah insofar that you can't move the thing. That's the doors of muktzah. Then there's a separate thing. Because of kotzah, the rabbi prohibited using a tree, even if you're not moving. So at that, it's muktzah, it wouldn't be awesome. For instance, if I have something that's muktzah, I have a big oven, let's say that's muktzah, connected to the ground, okay? There's no issur about leaning against it, as long as I don't move it. There's no issur sitting on it. A big rock is muktzah, right? I know there's issur sitting on a rock. I can sit on a rock. You know, as long as I don't move it, it's fine, right? I can have a big chandelier, I can touch it, as long as it won't move, okay? So that has to do with, but then there's a special prohibition when it comes to trees of not making use of them, even though you don't move them at all. Putting my hat on the tree, I'm not moving the tree. It's asur. Now it's muktzah, because it's muktzah, it wouldn't be asur for me to put my hat on a rock, which is muktzah. Can't move it, but on the tree it's also because I'm afraid that's separate, right.
Okay.
Right, if you move them, they're muktzah.
They
what? I don't know, tell us the song. Yeah? I didn't hear it.
So he was in the Russian army and he was switching guards, and the guards, they only had a few nice cool coats. So the other guy before him put the coat on the tree.
On Shabbos.
So he returned his turn to be somewhere, and he got there, and he realized that the coat was on the tree, so he didn't touch it. So because of that, he became deaf.
Yeah. Because of the cold. If he would have known that he's going to get sick, right, like that, it was really a mamish mokum tsar, mistama, it would have been mutter. It was a midas chasidus that he had, right, of not doing it. But mistama, in that situation, the issur drabanan would have been waived. Mokum tsar, especially that, holy that he gets from death is a sakonas nefashas. So, yeah, but the mistama, he was mahma. Yeah.
Do you have to go, like, if you're going down the path, you're walking with an then your the path is covered with hands.
So during the week or Shabbos?
Shabbos.
Shabbos.
If you have to like not like go a different direction, lift the other lot over.
Okay, if it's possible, if it's possible that you can walk over these things without killing them. If it's possible that just walking normally will sometimes kill them and sometimes not, and your intention is not to kill the ants, then it's in a miskaven, you don't have intention to kill them, and it's not a psikration. If by walking in where you're walking, there's so many ants, and you're so heavy, or the ago is so heavy, that it's impossible that you shouldn't kill them, then you can't walk. That's a psikration. It's a psikration to one issur d'rabbanan. Why would it be two drabonans? Mistamanat. Why would it be two drabonans? Killing ants is no dam. So 1 second. So that's asur midrabonan once. No, it's only one issur d'rabbanan. Segregation to one issur d'rabbanan should be asur. So you can't walk, you have to walk around. At least walk in a place where it's not for sure that you'll kill the ants. There's not that many of them. Or they're on grass, and therefore stepping them on the grass may not kill them. But if you're... Well, if it's not Nisr Shabbos, it's a wounded ant. I mean, it's hard to wound an ant, you know, they see the, all these ants with the casts and, you know, whatever. I haven't seen too many of them. Now, what, killing? No, killing is one of the malachas. It's called Netilat Neshama. It's pashtit. It applies to things that have blood, and the reason is because you're, it's like shochet. It's a shochet. It's just like the shechita is one of the malachas, killing an animal for, to use it for whatever, so killing any animal is awesome. Right. Now, shechita is the ab malacha, but anything similar to that, which results in the death of the thing, that's one of the malachas. What? No, they also that they assert even things that don't have blood or whatever, not exactly the way they were in the Mishnah.
But you said if you needed a